Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the fourth Sunday in Advent, and the readings are from Cycle C.
To become a deacon. My response? I found my vocation here at the Stanford Golf Course. Really? Back in 2005, my friend Ron Hansen and I would play golf three or four times a year at the course. Ron is a professor at Santa Clara University and a very well-known author. And at the time, he was progressing for the deacon formation program in the Diocese of San Jose. And so I was pleased to hear about his experiences. And then about a year later, he said, John, they're taking applications for the next deacon program cycle, which begins next year. You ought to think about applying. So, as often happens in life, the spark for action is an invitation. So I took Ron's challenge, I thought about it, I talked to my wife Elizabeth and a few close friends. And a few weeks later, I decided to apply to the program. Now, looking back on that time of my life, I'd have to say that the decision was probably 80% heart and 20% head. Now I'd say the ratio is about 50-50. My deacon decision-making process, though, was rather pedestrian compared with the discernment and decisions that Joseph had to make in today's gospel passage. I want to assure you that my journey did not involve appearances of angels or voices from God Almighty. With that said, though, there were a couple of similarities between my experience and Joseph's. The first was, as I said, the response to an invitation. And the second was that decisions are made in our head and in our hearts. It's a matter of logic as well as spiritual intuition. The situation reminds me of a remark that a wise friend made one time. He said, "Trust your feelings, but use your head." In the liturgy, and in art and devotional scenes about the infancy narratives, Mary and Jesus almost always play a central role. But in contrast, in the Gospel of Matthew, it's Joseph who's the central character. His process of discernment and his willingness to be obedient to God's invitations is evident at every turn. Faced with doubt over Mary's pregnancy, he did as the angel commanded and brought her into his home. After the birth of the child, Joseph again got a vision dream and was told to take his wife and newborn child to Egypt to flee from Herod's murderous intentions. And then in time, again through a vision dream, he was told to return to Nazareth. In each of these instances, Joseph is the human agent through which the scripture is fulfilled. Throughout Matthew's gospel, and in the face of a seemingly impossible future, Joseph is the one who is instructed not to fear. They're told that the Holy Spirit is acting in their lives, and they're given various signs. The grace that comes forth from a story that begins in utter catastrophe and ends with hope. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, emerges from some very confusing and challenging circumstances. Today's gospel is a tale of a man and a woman trying to respond to God's desires for them. And the gospel writer reminds us that we too are similar to Joseph and Mary in more ways than we may realize. We so often think of the two of them in such stereotypical ways, as two parents gazing into the manger, or as they're depicted in the medieval paintings that are on so many of the Christmas cards that we send. They're strong, stoic, patient. Righteous is the word that Matthew uses to describe Joseph in today's gospel passage. This man, Joseph, however, is someone who also knows worry and apprehension and fear. And this afternoon, I'd like to suggest that he speaks to our own time. Joseph is a man of our own age, our age of anxiety. On a personal level, Joseph knew and was worried and was familiar with the anxiety of every expectant father. He must have asked himself, am I ready for this? Am I strong enough? Am I wise enough? I'm sure, like many of you, I have this recollection of May of 1996 when Elizabeth and I took our two-day-old daughter and put her into the car seat in the back seat of the car and looked at each other and said, what do we do next? Where's the parenting manual? Joseph, confronting the very real possibility of scandal, must also have had a few sleepless nights and wondered, what could he do to protect this woman that he loved? And like Mary, he probably at some point asked himself, this is not what I had planned. Everything is suddenly very, very different. And how many of us have had that same experience where we look at our own lives and circumstances change and we too experience uncertainty, doubt, and anxiety? And into the midst of that, like Joseph, comes a voice that says, do not be afraid. In the middle of Joseph's most trying moments, he's reminded by God that he's to look beyond his fears and to trust beyond his human limitations. And it's the same for us. When our world gets turned upside down, we can't but trust that God will make it right. Today's gospel reminds us that in times of confusion, doubt, and despair, we should remind ourselves of the words, do not be afraid. During this Advent season, that is God's message to Joseph, to Mary, to the shepherds, to the disciples, and yes, also to us. These Advent weeks have aimed at helping us to be able to see our own experiences in the context of God's life. And perhaps we can use these remaining few days to become as aware as possible of whatever is going on in our lives, whatever the circumstances are, and try to bring them into an enriched understanding of Christmas. Some examples might help. One, for some in our community, the reality is that Christmas ends up being the loneliest time in their life. They experience mixed feelings and sad emotions that are hard to put words to. Two, for others, Christmas can mean conflicts with one's family, long-standing disagreements with relatives, hurt feelings that get carried on from year to year. And in addition, for so many of us here in the Catholic community, we yearn for the opportunity to simply slow down, to ponder the reason for the season, and to focus on accepting the invitation that it's extended to us to consider how Jesus came into our world and for what purpose. And that last point may be the best preparation for Christmas Eve, and for the morning to follow that we can make. To reflect on the fact that Jesus came into a world of chaos and scandal. He came into material poverty, was rejected even before he was born. He came into this world in a feed trough. He was hunted down, and he lived most of his life in obscurity. Yet, Jesus didn't shun the world. Rather, he embraced it and he desired for us to do the same. For us to look in the midst of our lives, our decisions, our disappointments, our discernments, and to see God's presence there. Now, the signs of those invitations don't have to be dreams or visions. They can be quietly pondering God's presence in prayer. Or they can be looking to the relationships that we have in our lives, in our friendships, or in scripture, or in music, be it classical or hip-hop. If we allow the Lord to come into our hearts and into our communities, we will find ourselves entering into Christmas joyful and triumphant as never before. And if you have any doubt about that fact, simply think of Joseph, that great silent partner of the Holy Family, the man who doesn't utter a word in any of the four Gospels, and yet whose ability to yield to an invitation and to listen and to respond speaks volumes. In the end, the words of the angel beckon and echo down to us as the great defining message of Advent, banishing all fear, erasing all anxiety. Do not be afraid. God is with us. And for that, can I get an amen?
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.